Please give a warm welcome. She's talking about protecting the most important asset, you. Give a warm welcome to Ms. Shelly Klingerman.
Thank you.
Thank you. I was going to give a shameless plug.
Yeah.
And also, you have this book underneath your seats, some of you, so please feel free to take that home. Sorry,
yeah,
go right ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it's been interesting sitting in here this morning and listening. I'm not going to lie to you. Some of it has just gone completely over my head. But there has been a lot of bridges between what I want to talk about today and what you talk about every day with the physical and the cyber. So let's just start out with a few scenarios. Clicker here. Where's my clicker? I feel like a spacewalker. There was nowhere to click this on, so we just got creative. So Michelle lands at the airport. She comes out. The taxi line is a mile long, and she does not want to wait. So what do you see walking up and down the sidewalk is those drivers who offer rides. So Michelle is like, oh, I don't want to wait in this line. She accepts a ride. The driver takes her bag and starts walking. And they start walking, and you know she's fine, she's following. But they start walking, and they start getting further and further away from the terminal. And she starts looking around, and there's nobody around now. She doesn't really know where they're going. The driver has her bag. So she gets in the car really not knowing if she's made a really bad decision. So until she gets to her destination, she thought the entire time, the hair on her arms is standing up. She's like, what have I done? I wish I wasn't here. I wish I could go back. Pause. A friend of mine, when I was at, full disclosure, I was at Sony DADC for 18 years. Does anybody remember Sony DADC? Yeah, we can talk about that. We'll reminisce. But he worked together, and he came back from a business trip, and he was telling me, he's like, I had this really weird situation happen. He got on the elevator, and this guy got on with him, and he's like, I just kind of sensed something. He was acting a little bit weird. He said he got off the elevator and the guy followed him off the elevator and he gets to his door and the guy is like standing like right behind him. And just by luck would have it, somebody came out of their door and the guy walked off. But John was like, I'm quite certain that that guy was gonna push me into my room and do what, rob him, attack him, who knows what. But he's like, I really had no idea what to do. Pause. Another story that was shared with me is a lady was driving, a guy comes up to her and he's flagging her over, hey, you've got a flat, pull over, pull over. So she does pull over and she's like, I don't feel anything, nothing seems to be pulling. So she at least had the smarts to only roll down her window a little bit so that he could speak to her. And he's like, you have a flat, you know, if you want to get in my car, I'll take you somewhere and we can get it fixed. And she was like, again, thankfully, no, you know, if you want to help me, just follow me to the next ramp and we'll get off and we can look at it. So he goes back and gets in the car, follows her, 30 seconds, turns around and leaves. And she's like, that was weird. Pause. This is actually me. I'll just own this one. 23 years old, traveling. I think that, you know, I'm really cool working for this cool company. I'm on a flight. I'm talking to this guy and he is, you know, mid-60s, and he's asking me all of these questions, and I'm really proud of what I'm doing now, and so I am telling him everything, and it was interesting because anytime I try to ask him a question, it would revert back to me, and so yeah, I love talking about myself, so I just kept talking and talking, and what do you do at the end of a conversation? You exchange business cards. So I get on the ground where I was doing, I think it was a trade show at the time, and I start getting these emails from this guy. And again, we never really talked anything business. It was all very personal. And he just like, what are you doing tonight? Where are you gonna be? And I was responding a couple times, like, you know, I'm from the Midwest, I don't know a stranger. And I started giving him, you know, information. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I really don't know this guy. And so I quit talking, and then I get back from the business trip, and he starts it up again. And so I just didn't respond at that point. But it's interesting when I was doing the research for this book, regarding the open book point, I was talking to an air marshal, and he said, you have no idea if I was a person of bad intention, what I could do with the information that I overhear people talking to. So sometimes you might be having a really innocent conversation with your seatmate, but it's who's in front and who's in back of you that can hear, and maybe they don't have plans when they land, or maybe that's their destination. So they know where you're going to be, what you're doing there, if you're alone. And so we have to pay attention to these things, and we have to just be aware. And I've heard that throughout this morning. We got to be vigilant. We got to be plugged in and just kind of keep our senses up. So has anyone had a situation like that? I love to please make this very conversational, but has anyone had you made a decision and then immediately regret it and have to kind of walk through? No one wants to share? You have? Would you share? Or you don't have to if you don't want to. But
thankfully everything was okay, but it was when I was traveling to Cuba, I didn't really know that much about how the car service worked. So I ended up just getting in a car with my friends, the first person who was like, oh, taxi service is very casual. But then everything, thankfully, again, ended up fine. But when I got in the car, I thought, I really should research this a little bit more. And I was really scared because my friends were trusting me to do this, but
yeah. Yeah, and you know what? There is such thing as luck. But why rely on luck all the time when there are things that you can actually do to not have to rely on it? And there's also, not everybody is out to, hurt you. So why did I do this? Everybody's like, what brought you onto this? I don't think we talk about this enough. And I think it's been talked about even this morning that you have to constantly be revisiting it and talking about it to keep it top of mind. So I don't think women talk about it enough. We don't like to think about bad things happening. So we just ignore it and we just hope and we rely more on luck instead of empowerment. With all of the headlines, I think I just heard this morning where there was a college girl that was slashed in the face in Chicago. We are not running out of headlines and reasons why this does need to be a priority. It doesn't seem like it's gonna stop anytime soon. And just by simply talking about it and learning about it, it's empowering. So it doesn't have to be fearful. And I always get afraid to use that word, but people have used it before I've gotten up here, so I'll use it. Sometimes fear can be a really motivating emotion. So it makes you act. And so sometimes being a little afraid it is good. And just a real quick story about that. Right before the book published, there was a Wall Street or New York Times article, and it talked about the uptick of women traveling by themselves. And it was talking about all the things that sometimes women have to deal with that men don't. And it was a great article, but I was like, I think they're missing a few things here. So I was talking to my publicist, and he's like, well, whatever you think, send it back. And he's like, they get 1,000, responses, but go for it. So I went for it, and I actually ended up getting published as a response. But I think at the end, I'm getting ready to send my daughter to college, and she's gonna be studying international and global studies. And my theory is I would rather her be a little afraid than a lot dead, because again, that fear is an action emotion. So it makes you do something. And he was like, I'm pretty sure that's the hook that got you. So maybe being a little afraid is better than being a lot dead. And there are simple adjustments that we're going to talk about that can just bump, and we'll talk about bumping too, that just make you not as an ideal of a target. And again, I think it really ties to what you're talking about, cyber. Just don't be so vulnerable. And here are some facts, and this truly is a concern for women. So just out of show of hands, how many men think about their safety? What time you're going to arrive? Are you going to go out by yourself? Where are you staying? Are those a factor? And I'm just curious, when you book your travel, men, do you raise your hand if it's...
To a certain extent, right?
Yeah? Okay.
It's not something...
It's not like you work your schedule around it, but it's...
Yeah, we've got to think.
Mm-hmm. And I know you have a background. Do you want to...
Well,
mm-hmm. Anybody else have thoughts on that? So out of today's talk, if you take 3 things away, maybe it's something you bring top of mind again. You're like, oh, I knew that, and I just kind of put it in the back of my head. Maybe it's one little thing you learn that you can layer onto maybe whatever it is you're doing now. Maybe it's like, I need to share this with someone. But hopefully you'll take 3 simple things away today from this talk. And I just want to be honest again. I get really nervous about, I am not trying to fearmonger. I am trying to just raise awareness so that you go and learn and you investigate and you are empowered by that and not just becoming paralyzed with fear. And in doing this, you create a boundary. And again, we've heard plenty of headlines. When boundaries get crossed, sometimes bad things can happen. So you just create a boundary by taking some proactive measures. Learning to be more savvy results in confidence. So you have body language that is just becomes a deterrent, because that confidence alone is a deterrent. Being able to identify, like I was not able to, when someone might be crossing your boundary, being able to identify and having ways to kind of push that back is important. And then the more you learn, at least in my whole process of this book, the more you learn, the more you want to know. So it becomes interesting and engaging. So we talk about the bump. Has anybody heard of that term? It's actually, I think it would probably apply to your cyber too. Really, if someone's got bad intentions, if a hacker or someone who's trying to attack your systems has bad intentions, they're gonna do it. It's just whatever hardened target is gonna make it harder for them. So when we talk about our physical security, what you want is, if someone is just dead set on committing an act of violence, it's not against you. And you have to make it that personal. And it sounds crass, but it's just really kind of what it is. So this is what the average person looks like. Would anyone disagree? Like, we're on our phone, our heads are down. Half the time we have ear pods in, we don't look up nearly enough. So we're kind of vulnerable the way we walk around. When you know what a predator is looking for, being able to just do the things that make him be like, I'm not even gonna mess. So I had one of the individuals I was interviewing for the book gave me this analogy, and it really kind of clicked for me. He said, understand that predators are innately lazy. They need the element of surprise, and they need to act under some kind of cover. So whether it's darkness or cars or, so just having in mind, putting yourself in that position. And they gave me the analogy as a shark swimming around looking for its next meal, it'll like identify a prey, a meal, and it will circle. And it'll just kind of circle, and it'll get a little closer, and it's evaluating, like, what's this doing? Is this gonna put up a tough fight? Because remember, predators don't like, you know, a lot of fight. They wanna be able to act quickly. And they said sometimes a shark will go in and it'll bump to see if its meal is gonna fight back. And if it is, maybe it swims off and finds an easier one. So just think about a predator like that. If it's circling and you do something that makes them be like, oh, that's gonna be too hard, I'm gonna go to the next, that's that bump. It's quite that easy. So just be, by being a plugged in person, by head up, looking around, not having your hands with your phone in it, and just being plugged into your surrounding alone. If I'm walking like this and someone's walking like that, who can somebody surprise easier? If I'm pivoting all the time, and I also had an expert tell me the average person looks at about a 30 degree angle, like we look up, like if we're walking and we look up, like he said, if you just shift your head a little more to the right and to left and like glance up, people who are trained in surveillance know the average person does this, so they'll stay on the peripheral. So I don't know, maybe you have, I know you have extensive experience in this. Yes. So just by doing this, sometimes might be like, oh, they're gonna see me, so I'm gonna go to the person who's not doing that. So one's a distractor and one is the... Thank you. So I know Chris was going around recruiting people, and I have no doubt that maybe some of them are not here, but here are 10 quick things you can do to bump or create that unspoken boundary. Does anybody have one? Does anybody have the, okay, can you stand up and just read it? Like number one, the number one. Yeah.
Look up and look around.
So I know we've heard mantras like, don't click on shit, like that's your mantra in the cyber. Look up and look around would be your mantra for the physical. Just by simply doing that sets you apart from the average person. Anybody have anything to add? And add anything to these points that maybe you've had an experience or there's something you do or have some context.
Don't stop if they ask you for the time.
Don't stop if they ask you for the time.
Get in the habit of parking under lights.
Get in the habit. What number is that? So, okay. Did anybody have two? Who's got it? Okay, look up, look around was number one. Number two is hold your shoulders back and walk with a purpose. So just that simple body language of confidence. Number three?
Park under
So park under lights. Does anybody have any idea why that's a good habit to get into? Have you ever heard of that? Like, get in the habit day or night of pulling into a parking lot and parking under the parking light. Even if you're going to be there in the day and come out in the day, but just get in the habit of doing that. So if you do go in the day and you come out at night, you're walking towards a lit area. Just simply that you're walking towards a lit area. And again, what does a predator need? They need the cover of darkness sometimes in order to act. So if you're walking towards light and somebody else is walking into the darkness, maybe that's a bump. Oh, who had four? So anybody thoughts on that? Lighten your load so you're not walking around and you're all lugged down, and if somebody wants to try to grab something, you can't chase after them. And, you know, I've also been told have your hands free and visible. And again, I think that's probably just if you're all tied up and you have bags all over, you could be easier to grab something and not be able to fight back or chase or what have you. Oh, number five. In the lift or elevator, depending on where you are. Anybody have any thoughts on that or any experience with that?
Smart elevator.
Smart elevator? You can't do it? Well. Yeah, the so for women, that the standing by the panel is a position of power. So that you are controlling the stop button and somebody else can't get in with you and push it. So you want to be by that panel where you can pull the alarm and they can't push the stop. Right. Yeah. Right. And then for women, if we are used to, like, you know, getting on first, people are polite and let us get on first, take that opportunity and position yourself towards the panel. If somebody has gotten on with you, or if somebody's maybe followed you from the lobby and they get on with you and you're getting these, again, signals like your hair's raising, you're like, oh, this guy's giving me a weird feeling, ask them their floor first. If they happen to tell you the same floor that you're on, push the floor above them so that it makes them get off. If you, I am bad about this and I have to catch myself. I get on and I push my floor and then I'll be like, oh, what floor are you? Oh, well, what a coinky dink, I'm on the third floor too. So they have all the reason to get off with me on the floor. But if I ask them, then I can always put, even if I'm on the third, I would push the floor, the fourth or the fifth, just so it makes them get off. Does that make sense? All right, number six. Sit with your back against the wall. Is there any law enforcement? That, like, if you're with somebody who's been law enforcement or military, oftentimes they'll take that seat. But sit with your back against the wall. You've got protection, and then it allows you to scan just what's going on around you. And then sidewalks. I also had someone tell me, you know, sometimes if we're doing something you're on a sidewalk and you stop to look up a number or check an email, step back and just stand against the wall rather than standing with your head down in the middle of the sidewalk and everybody again. It would be really easy to just walk by and grab your purse off or pickpocket. So just get against the wall so you have your back protected. Oh, seven.
Always know where the exits are.
Yeah. So any question is why? You know, you always just want to be aware of where they are and for whatever, if it's a fire, if it's somebody comes in and acting weird and you just want to beeline out, just orient yourself and know where the exits are. Eight. Gosh, I keep getting ahead of myself. Yeah, anybody have thoughts on that? I mean, right now, Americans maybe aren't the most liked around the world.
I'm bilingual, so I use my mother tongue, so I speak Spanish. And then just make it as a mock. I know certain
countries are not very friendly towards Americans, so I kind of say I speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And really, you just want to blend in. You just don't want to stand out or give anybody a reason.
Actually, that's to make yourself talk.
Yeah.
Yep. Big diamond rings, these things, people look for where these are, yep. They go out and yep. Identify them.
Yep.
Exactly what they are, they feel it's important to wear.
Yep. So the overarching really message here is just blend in. Don't do anything to make yourself stand out. I'm sorry?
Be insignificant,
yes. Number nine.
Count the number of doors and you'll know the steps there.
Right. So does anybody ever do this? Like, I literally did it, like, in my hotel just because I was reviewing this. I don't do it all the time, but so I had, again, an SME tell me, like, look on the back of the door. All the back of the doors have the exit plan. Count how many doors to the stairs, because if there is a fire, you're not going to be able to see. You're going to have to be crawling possibly, or you're going to have to feel your way. So know how many doors to get to the stairs. And I actually counted them when I was walking, like, instead of looking at the back of the door, I was just counting them. But again, it's just a habit to get into, and hopefully you'll never need it, but if you do, it'll be nice to have it. Oh, 10. Trust your gut. Does everybody understand why we do that? Yeah, and that your brain and your gut are connected by your vagus nerve, which is connected to your primal brain. So that fight or flight, when that triggers, that's releasing chemicals that when you're not acting on it, that's when you're feeling. So if you're acting, your body is using it, but when you don't, it's when you get that sinking feeling. So there's actually something physical to that. So all of this is really just to create a boundary. And again, I'm sending my daughter to college. I don't want her to be the naive person that I was when I started traveling. So I want to arm her so that when I'm not with her, I feel like she's got a good foundation. She knows how to establish boundaries. She understands when people are trying to cross them, or at least can identify it. And if they do, she has some tools to go to get herself out of that situation rather than freezing in fear. And it's all about a mindset and innovating your mindset. And I know, again, with your cyber profession, you're always having to kind of innovate. You know, I heard someone say you should never use the same protection model twice. So we're always having to innovate. How do we think about this? So I had improvised weapons, and I took the weapons off because, again, sometimes that's offensive. But, you know, improvise. If you are by yourself sitting on a subway or a bus and all you have in your hand is your phone, and you're like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I don't feel good about this. Calm down and think your phone could be like your palm, but half the time our phone is in our palm. You can use that to smash somebody's nose, and the ultimate goal is just to create seconds to get away, to create space. How could you use hand sanitizer? Like, you know, women, we have lots of things in our purses. How can you use, spray it in somebody's eyes. Perfume, you could squirt it in somebody's eyes. A pen could go soft tissue. An umbrella, create space. So you can use it as a club but you know, the whole idea is just to let you know and just visit these things to know you have options if you find yourself in a situation. Don't freeze. Know you have options and think creatively. Was there any other things, like everyday items that you could think of? Your purse, keys. So, you know, even maybe make it a little game when you're sitting around, just kind of look around and what could I use if I needed to in a bad situation? And then visualize yourself doing this. So again, when I was interviewing some experts, they were like, you have to see yourself getting out of these situations. And who has done the Oculus, the VR? I am convinced, like, I'm addicted to this certain game, but I'm convinced that there's an opportunity to kind of train this stuff and drill this stuff with Oculus, because you could actually execute punches or kicks, or, you know, if you, maybe the game is there surprising you and you just have to throw a punch. But I was talking to an ex Navy SEAL, and he was running me through these scenarios, and he was like, somebody comes in and they, you know, grab your child, what would you do? Or somebody comes at you, what would you do? And I said, well, I'd punch him in the face. Like, I said something flippant. He's like, oh, really? He's like, how many times have you ever punched somebody in the face? It's not natural to do that. So if you're going to expect yourself to do that in that moment, you have to practice doing it, because if you'll hesitate, and that hesitation might be that period where, you know, you've lost your opportunity. So he's like, whatever it is that you see yourself doing, practice it. And again, I've heard that throughout the morning. You have to actually practice what you want the outcome to be. Does anybody have thoughts on the visualizations? Athletes use this. They see themselves in events, and they see themselves getting the outcome that they want, which is gold or winning. And then execute. So just do. Pick one thing. Maybe the one thing is you're going to start practicing parking under lights. So just do it. Just try to practice it, execute it. And then when we talk about modeling it, model it for your kids. So when maybe they get their driver's license and they still have their permit, so you're always with them, get them in the habit of practice or parking under parking lights so that when they're not with you, they have a really good foundational habit that they go to. And then maybe we as parents don't have to worry so much when we're not with them all the time because we've armed them with good practices. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Shelley. That was great. Here it is. Vigilance, the Savvy Woman's Guide to Personal Safety, Self-Protection Measures and Counter.